Okay, we are continuing Hilchos Trefos. We are on Siman Mem Chet. We are starting with Si'if Chet. Okay. Im Nimtza Be'echad Mehem, if you find in one of them, such as the Hemses or the Beta Kosot, Tchuva Machat, you find a needle stuck inside. O Kotz Velon Nikev Me'ever El Ever, either you have, it's a needle or a thorn, and in this case, it's stuck inside, but not all the way through. Okay, so the question is, did it penetrate all the way through? We learned that if it's just loose inside, so then I believe we said it's a kshera. We're gonna see if it's loose in the abdominal cavity in the stomach. Sorry, not in one of the stomachs, in the overall general cavity, not technically a stomach. So then it's a shreifa, because we're afraid it may have made a hole into one of the vital organs, and we didn't find the hole, or it's sealed and healed. Here, it's stuck inside the wall of one of the organs. These two, for example, hemses and beta kosot. So what do? Hovchinoto. We invert it. We look at the stomach, and we make it, stretch it inside out, and we look inside. Botkino tell me bachutz. So it's, I think we're going to say it, but if it's on the outside, and if it came from the outside, that's a problem, because that means it was in the chalal habetin. So that'll make it a trefa. So I think it says it later on. Or we said it already. You find it inside, and then you look.
Right side out.
So now you want to look to see if it made a hole. Botkino told me bachutz, from the outside of the stomach, because you found it on the inside. Im nimsa alav kore dam, if you find a drop of blood. Now it needs to be a mamashut of blood. It has to be real blood, or like a little bit of dried blood. Sometimes the blood separates a little bit, or it gets a bit of a scab. There has to be some kind of mamashut, not just an appearance of red. That's spelled out by some of the mafarshim, such as the Kapachayim and the Aruch HaShulchan. So then, if on one side you see the needle, and exactly opposite that same side, you find Koret dam, some kind of mamashut of dam, biaduishin yikav kulo utrefa. So then you know that it was penetrated all the way through. That's why there's blood there. At least it's much. It's kimat for sure, and therefore it has a din of a trefa. V'im lav kshira. But if the needle's on the inside, even though it's stuck a little bit, pointing into the wall of this one of the stomachs, but it doesn't go all the way through, and you checked this, you're allowed to check, and this is actually done. We'll see this in a moment. Okay. Right now, if there's a maka and you have reason to assume it's a maka, so then might be okay, depending on other factors. But as far as the issue of the needle, if everything else looks like there was no maka, but you see karet dam, a drop of blood on the other side of the needle, so then you assume there was a puncture. Okay. Now, even if the needle went through most of the wall of the stomach, but it didn't go all the way through, it's still a kshera. Now, the only way we can do this to check if there was dam or not, then is if you didn't clean it or salt it yet, because that'll wash away the blood. You want to check it before you wash it away to see if there was blood, and that's so the needle maybe went through. Afilu rosh ha'av shelo letzad chutz. And I think this means even if the head is on the inside, facing out.
Where you would think it would be more likely that the pen, that the sharp.
Oh, no, it could be. Are we saying even if it's on the outside? Because nowadays, unless the head is really, really big, it can go either way. I think that's all. You know, I'm not sure, but okay. Haga. V'yesh mekilin lahatir im lo nikev me'ever l'ever v'hudach v'nimlach o she'ne'avad v'lo badak mibachutz imaya alav karedam. Now the Rama is mekel over here more than the Rosh Shulchan Aruch that says lechatchila you see a needle how you know stuck and it's inside halfway through lechatchila you have to check, but if you don't check, so the Shulchan Aruch says I think it's a treifa because we're afraid now you have a reyasa, but the Rama says v'diyevet if it already got washed away or it gets lost and it's you could be mekel v'yesh lismach alei l'makom hefsin meruba. You can be mekel in the case of hefsid meruba. It's a machloket in the Rishonim, so he says you could be mekel the hefsid meruba. Okay. Vima baramacham ever aliver. Now, what if it's going all the way through? Meodenu tachuv bo, botkinu tayuninza kare dam, saviv hamachat. So now, if the needle's going all the way through, so you look around if there's blood around the needle. V'kol shekein so in other words, now we want to know when did we're still holding on to some hope. Now the needle went all the way through. So there is a hole all the way through. But we want to say maybe when it was shechted, the needle was on the inside. And after it got shechted, the animal moved around. I pushed the animal, I took out the organs. That's what pushed the needle all the way through. So there is one chance that it still might be kosher. So where do you check it? If it's you find blood around there, so then biadua shekoda meshchita nikav kulo utrefa. If there's some blood around there and it spread a little bit, so that's a sign that the blood was still warm and moving. Just a little bit of blood pressure would be enough, and it would make it move a little bit. Then you know that it would happen when it was still alive. V'imlav. But if there's no blood going, if you don't find blood around there, it's just the needle going right through, so then it probably pierced once there was no more blood pumping and the animal was dead. And so therefore, things don't change anymore and it just makes the pump, it just goes right through and there's no blood. Now that's im lo malchu v'loidichu. That's if you, but you have to check this, the Shulchan Aruch says, before you rinse it and salt it. The kibon shemachat adenu sham, since it's the needle is still there. Ilu avar mechayim hayadam seviva. If it was alive before the shechita, then there would be dam that spread around there. When you prick it, it would bleed around. Aval kasheena machat lefanenu asur kashenikav kulo afila ein karedam. But if the needle is not there, then we don't play games, and then it's an automatic trefa. We don't know, even if there's no blood over there, because then this may have happened a long time ago, and we don't know. Okay, we're just, the only time you can be mekel is if you still see the needle going right through, and you check it right away. Okay. Kaftet. Oh, sorry. It's Haga. Kol makom shetzarech bedika im lo badku kagon shenevar alech lamachat misham trefa. Dehavek ilo hidichu umalcha. So he says, whenever you need to check, but you didn't check because it was taken away. This is we're talking about here when it goes. In this case, it's the needle went all the way through. Right? The Rama was mekel before when it was only stuck in the middle, didn't go all the way through. Now he's saying when it goes all the way through, so then it's a trefa. But yesh omrim de bizman hazeh de'inon uvekim ebedikos yesh lahatrif im nikva machat. But he says this type of checking, when the needle goes all the way through, now they show him that nowadays we're not bekeen in doing this check, and we say it's a trefa. Afilu lo nimtza korei dam, even if you don't find blood around it, if the needle's going all the way through, we call it a trefa. V'lo chulda, and also we don't check for rustiness that's reddish. Dinanu somchim bazeh al bedigatenu. We're not somech on our kind of bedikas on this issue. Miachar denikav mishnei tzadim, because it went all the way through. If it's a needle that goes all the way through, then that's a trefa. V'hachi nahug, and that's the minhag. Machat akotz nimtzayim behemtzes v'dekosot v'chalalo v'lo nitchav behen klal kasher b'chol inyan. That's what we said in the beginning. But if you find it loose inside the stomach, it's a kash, it's kshera. And you don't have to worry. There's no bedikas to even do. Vein sarich shum bedika. Okay, v'yesh mekilin de'afilu benikva hamachat mitzad echad ein sarich livdok mibachutz im yesh alav kore dam. Some are makil not even to check b'chlal. This is really a repeat from what you said before. I think so, at least. V'yesh lismach alayu imu hefsin meruba, and you could be the hefsin meruba, and you can't check anymore. You could be somach on that opinion. V'yefsha livdok kagon shanim lachudach on nevad. And it's no longer possible to check, like you already rinsed it or it got lost. Okay, let's go to one second.
What you're saying, if you use nikah on one side, you don't have to check.
Yeah, we had that sheet in the Rama that if it gets lost, you don't have to check. Right, there's an opinion you don't have to check. It is, that's if you keep reading. Anyways, the Rama says you're only allowed to be rely on this behefsin meruba. Okay. Let's let's finish this Yaman and I just want to point out one thing. It's good to point out because we're discussing the stomachs. So I spoke to Rabbi Ben David and he said that nowadays, generally speaking, of course there's always exceptions, but generally speaking, when you go to a good slaughterhouse in Israel or America, the only thing they check for is the Reya. That's from the Gemara. And nowadays, we're also checking for Beta Kosot to see if we see signs of being punctured. Or sometimes there could be nails and screws in there. And so therefore, they check for that and size of infection from a hole or from a needle or a screw that can cause an infection. So those are the only two things that we do check for. And if everything looks fine, then it's right. And so they would do what we discussed about checking. They would do for Beta Kosot. They would check inside as well. They would check inside of Beta Kosot. If they definitely check the outside. I'm not sure. I think they check the inside also, but I'm not positive. But I know they inspect it for sure from the outside, maybe from the inside. In South America, they said they also check the keres because it's more common in there to have that as an issue. So, and that's for behemoths. For ofos, and they don't check tzomet tagidin, but for chickens, so here we check for tzomet tagidin, and many mahadrim places in Israel will check for lungs as well. But nowhere else do they check for lungs. Okay. Right. Well, from the Gemara, it's never been an issue. It's nowadays, and their lungs are very different than our lungs. But they're looking. But anyways, they look at them and they feel them. But yeah. Okay. I think that's that for now. Let's continue with Tet. All right. Im nimsa chaluda. Now, if on the area you find some rust. So even like from the nail. So dina kanim tzala koredam. So we call that the same as you find koredam, a little bit of blood. We're not being machalik. They're both reddish. We don't want to take a chance. That's the halacha. Hagav v'cheni nimsa chaluda mibachutz neged amachat. Even if you find what you think is rust on the opposite wall, the opposite side of the wall, right? You want to check to see if the needle poked the hole all the way through, and on the other side you see what you think is rust. You're not sure, even though you don't think it's blood, the din is we call it a trefa. Imnika mitzadecha trefa, ki ilu nimtza sham koredam. That's the same din. Okay. But again, it has to have some kind of mamashut. Yud. Ze shamarnu mitzad echad kshera. So this, as we said before, that when we said you found it on one side and it's a kshera, hainu mi bifnim. This is if you're finding the needle and the screw on the inside of the stomach. Klape harei, where the food is, or the waste. The ib bitzad. I don't think so. I think it means on the inside of the stomach or inside of the intestine. The food. The rei is the food being digested or at the end of the process. Exactly. The e bitzad shebachutz, because if you're finding the nail halfway through the wall of the stomach, and it's on the outside of the organ, right? This we spoke out a couple of minutes ago, so or a few minutes ago, shebachutz klape chalal haguf, where it's you find it on the outside of the organ and it's halfway penetrated the wall and it's in the abdominal cavity. So then, afilo lo nikev klal, even if it wouldn't even make a puncture on the outer surface of the stomach, it would still be a trepha. Why? Because because the din is anytime you see a needle in the abdominal cavity, we call it a trepha. Because once it's running around loose, or, you know, swimming around, whatever it is in that abdominal cavity, we're afraid it can poke holes wherever it wants to, and you'll never find the hole.
No, I thought we assumed that it came out through the digestive tract.
That could also be. That could also be. That
outside.
Correct. That's also a chashash. It could be either one. It can come from the outside too. That case is no. If the animal rubs against the wall and a needle pokes a hole through its skin, it's not a trepha.
Right.
So it can come from either direction. But once it's in the halal, that of haguf, has a din of a trepha. Really misafik, I think. But okay, let's go on. Yud Aleph. I think it could come from the outside. Okay, well, Yud Aleph, we'll discuss after if you want. But, one second. Right. Oh, and also, Ben Amitai explained, Ben David, that it does happen sometimes. You'll see screws and needles. And generally speaking, generally, we don't look in general for all the organs except the ones that we mentioned. We're not looking for needles, right? We don't inspect them, but they often will just look at just take a quick look at the body. Don't have to, but they can. In some places, they do. That's part of the procedure. If you see signs of an infection, like a bloated organ, so then they'll often check it or just call the whole thing a trepha, because then they're for whatever reasons. But if it's discovered, now what often could happen is you would discover it. Now normally you don't look for these things, so it's rare to find it. And if you find it, usually it's when you find them where it's already dismembered altogether. And then you have a big pile of, let's say you're going to get to the gizzard, a big pile of kurkubans, because people actually eat them. They have a machine that peels the muscle from the membrane. And then that would be, so what generally happens is you discover it when there's already a pile of organs together, and then you see, oh, there's a needle. So you pluck out the needle and you serve the rest, and there's no trepha over here because you don't know which cow it came from. They don't mark the organs once they pull them apart. So obviously they always mark the lungs when they get separated, but they're not marking the other parts. So it's not, well, mice, it's not usually an issue. Okay. Let's get to the kurkuban. Yud Aleph. Ma'achat of a kurkuban. So if you have a needle, you find it in the korkoban. Now, this is an interesting case. Vekula nivlat be'ove besaro. And it's completely embedded in the muscle. Right? The muscle is a little bit thick, not so thick. So the needle has, on both sides of the needle, there's some muscle or the skin, the inner membrane. So v'nishar, v'nishar kechetzi etzba mitzad akis, gam mitzad achutz. So you have, now again, this is just an expression. There is no, normally when we say an etzba, we're talking about a shear of 2 centimeters, and a chetzi would be 1 centimeter. But the kurkuban, each wall of that kurkuban is not 2 centimeters thick. So it's just an expression. It's not meant to be literal. It comes from a tshuva of the Rashba. Ben David said maybe it's referring to a turkey. I don't know if they're that thick either, but anyways. It was okay. So let's keep reading. Shloita hamachat ochelet v'lo haya shloita hamachat ochelet v'lo haya nikar shum nekev. You couldn't see the needle, the hole, nothing. Lo letzad pnim, lo letzad chutz.
The needle is completely submerged.
Correct, within the wall of the korkoban. The korkoban is a gizzard, and it's a pouch. So the inside it grinds the food, and it's basically like a pouch of muscle on both sides. with a membrane that peels apart easily on a kosher bird. So on each side, it's more like an oval, flat shape, a little bit. It's a little bit flat shaped, but it's does that answer the explain a little bit better? Now I could get a picture of a korban.
So I know what the
needle is inside in the muscle. One side. One side, the muscle on one side. It's embedded in the muscle on one side. There's a big gap on the inside where all the food is getting crushed.
It's not in the gap.
It's not in the gap.
And it's not even puncturing into the gap.
That's right. It's just lying in the muscle.
It's embedded in the muscle.
Okay. Haga, the hamachat ba mi bifnim, v'havei kenikev mitzad echad, was we're assuming that the needle was swallowed, right? That's how it got there. It's common. Birds, they just eat whatever they see on the ground, especially a small little needle. So they swallow it. It gets travels down through the past the crop into the gizzard. So it's inside there. And then when it's moving, the muscle is, you know, it's crushing it around. It's moving around, contracting, whatever. So then it pops through the membrane and it stays inside the muscle. But it doesn't, it's not a through and through hole. So it's still a kshira. Yeah. But so as long as you don't see any blood on the outside, it's kasher. And some say no. Once you find it embedded, it's aser. Okay. So, but once you find a needle in there, the maisa you should throw it away and not eat it unless it's hefsid meruba. And right, chickens are usually not. And again, usually it's already batel barov for the rest of the chicken. So you would throw out the korkoban with the needle, and you can eat the rest of the pile of korkobans and the rest of your chickens. I think so.
So if you find the needle and korkoban, just throw out that korkoban.
Just throw out that korkoban, yeah. It doesn't help to throw out the needle. It's not a blood spot, which we'll get to later. You have to throw out the whole, for sure, the whole thing. Okay, the egg. Yeah, don't extrapolate from what I'm saying, but the egg yet. Yibbet, katan, shamata macha tachu v'keres, yesh lahachmer v'lesor alpiv imhu charif, leida ulechavin midvarim elu. Okay, so this is an interesting topic. Do you listen to the katan? So a katan, we know, does not have any ne'amanas. You can't trust them. It's not just, you can't trust them. They have no, the din is, we don't take their testimony for anything. The issue over here, why does a katan make it worse? Because you found a needle on the floor. Like, say, so you were by the animal, and you cut it open, and then it falls out. Or I'm not exactly sure of the case. Obviously, there could be a number of cases that can come out of this case. But it's, again, it's based on the Chuvas of the Rashba. But basically, you have a needle there already. And since you have a needle there, then it puts the whole animal at jeopardy. Now we have a suffix. So now, if you have a katan who's a smart with it katan, and so it depends on the katan, but anyways, so then he is trustworthy to make it aser. Okay. This what? No. The keres is the first stomach. We're going back to the first stomach. We're done with korkoban. Here, korkoban is only by oaf. Keres is talking about an animal. Chickens don't have a keres. They get back to an animal. Sorry. We're back to an animal, separate case. And here you have, so you find it on the floor or whatever it is, somewhere in the animal that just makes it a suffix. So the katan can put it over the edge, and if he tells you, no, I saw it in a place that makes it a trefa, so then, or you have to check it in order to eat it. So again, we had the machlokas shulchan aruch harma, but bottom line, a katan has the power to make it aser, because we have reglayim ledavar. And so you were using the katan just like a gili milsa to explain to us the metzias. So he is good enough. We're not using him as an aid. We're using him as a gilei milta in metzias. Now, if it's a non-Jew, an ikata, and they point out, the poskim point out, and the shach and beheritev and others, that the katan actually, in this type of a case, has more validity than a goy. A goy, we can say, I don't believe you, and you have every right to do that. I just want to point out two things real quick. One is, the Aruch HaShulchan says that if a gadol comes and tells you without reglayim v'davar, a gadol, some older man, a person who's 13, and it's not his animal to tell you it's a trefa, and he tells you, I found a machat in such and such a place, you don't have to believe him because it's not in his place to be a matrif, he has known it, and he's not the shochet, and he is not there's no reglayim v'davar in that case. So for a gadol, you would have the right to tell him, I don't believe you. But he qualifies that. He says, it depends on the case. In a case of, so you have a right in general. This comes up in other areas, halachas. We're not going to get into a whole, we're not going to digress too much. But it does come up in different halachas where sometimes you can say, I don't believe you to the witness or to the person who's giving his, especially, even though we don't rely on, But what he does point out is if you don't want to believe him, but you do, like you know the guy, and you just know he's telling you the truth. So then, in an Isser De'araisa, you can look up this. It's over here in Aruch HaShulchan. If an Isser De'araisa, and you know that you believe that the guy is telling the truth, then you're not allowed to say I don't believe you. But if it's an Isser De'rabanan, you're allowed to say, you have no ne'amanas on this, it's not yours, you don't have a right to aser it onto me, and I don't believe you. So this will come up again later on in the future. This is by Eid Echad Ne'aman B'Yisurin. No, we're talking about Eid Echad Ne'aman B'Yisurin. So this sugya is more in Kuf Chav Zayin, but this is an important thing to point out, and I just want to add one other important thing that comes up. Let's say a person wants to eat in someone else's house. The person's house, he's not religious. Let's say you have a parent or a child. They don't keep kosher, they're machal Shabbos. The din is, they're not a kosher aid. You can't trust on them for ne'amanas. Can you eat their food? They're only buying kosher food. It's from the store kosher, and you don't see the symbols. Or they cook for you. They have separate dishes and so on. So I'm just going to point out to you, I'm not paskening and everything. But it depends on the case. The Igros, and it does come up with family issues. The Igros Moshe, or Moshe in Yeridea Aleph, Nun Dalet, he says that there's a difference between Ne'amanas and Yediya. It's a very famous tshuva. And he says, sometimes they're not Ne'aman, but if you know them, and you know that they wouldn't serve you treif, then you're your own aid. You know it, and then you don't need edus. You don't, and you're, and so therefore you're allowed to hear. It says it's the cases with the Russian, and they want to be able to eat, but there are other cases where it does apply halacha l'maisa, and based on yediyah, if you know them. But Ramosha says it's bishat adchak, and certainly you can't have a restaurant like that. Obviously, if you're gonna, you can't give hashgacha like that. But he says even if you want to eat there, and you believe the non-religious guy is serving you a kosher food in the restaurant, he says, for sure, you can't eat there. Only if he's a firm person can you trust him. But all right, we'll stop.